in Canada. A key item on the agenda at the G7 meeting was reform of the World Bank and the IMF and the need for a rethinking of the international financial system. Well, here we are again in 2009 talking about the same subject, but in a context that couldn't be more vastly different, that of the global financial crisis. There's a danger, I think, living in Canada, of being lulled into a false sense of security about this crisis, of thinking, of being preoccupied with the green shoots of recovery that we hear are appearing, and of starting to believe that the worst of the crisis is over. For low and middle income countries, the crisis is far from over. And it's as important now for them to talk about responses to the crisis as it was last year when the crisis first broke out. In low income countries, the impacts of the crisis are still emerging. Impacts such as effects on wages, employment, on variations in remittance flows. And we know that in some African countries, the financial crisis is worsening the food crisis that pre-existed the financial crisis. In middle-income countries, they face a different but very difficult situation, that of at long last being accepted as more central players within the international financial system. But a system that they have long argued and continue to argue is in need of substantial change. Well, the question of change is one of the key issues that we're going to address at this conference today. There's a commonly held view, I think, that in moments of crisis, big change is possible. And that's why we kicked off the conference last night with a panel with the ambitious title of Thinking the Unthinkable. Is the crisis an opportunity for transformative and systemic change? It was a very engaging panel, and it focused to a large extent actually on the economic aspects of the crisis. And that was both very useful and appropriate, I think. For instance, civil society organisations, I think, need to understand and engage with the economic aspects of the crisis and be able to speak to them in the work that they do. But underlying this discussion of the economic aspects, there was a very strong subtext of the political aspects of the crisis. And I think today we will find that discussion of these political aspects of the crisis will deepen. So today in our conference, we continue the discussion of change that we started last night, and we analyse whether the proposed responses to the crisis and the changes are merely sufficient to cope with the current moment of crisis, or do they in fact pass a much more important test of providing a more fundamental change that is required for the future. So both last night and today, the conference addresses three simple but very important questions. What's been done to address and change the financial, international financial system? What hasn't been done so far, and what needs to be done? And in these respects, I think it's particularly timely that we're holding this conference here and now, because we're asking these three questions in relation to Canada's role in hosting the upcoming G8 and G20 meetings that will take place in June of next year. So one of the things that we're asking our speakers, as well as yourselves as participants, is how can we encourage the government of Canada to take a strong leadership role in relation to the G8 and G20 in addressing responses to the crisis? And how can we, in fact, influence it to advance an agenda that involves not just current but long-term responses to the crisis and that includes consideration of fundamental changes to the financial architecture? Well, I should point out that the Halifax Initiative's work in relation to the G8 and G20 next year doesn't stop here with this conference. It will continue to discuss the crisis and the upcoming G8 and G20 through a number of activities that will take place between now and June of next year. So stay tuned and we'll keep you informed of a range of things that the Halifax Initiative is doing in relation to the upcoming meetings. Once again, I'd like to welcome you all here on behalf of the Halifax Initiative Coalition. Welcome to research organisations, academic institutions, civil society organisations that I know are working very directly on issues in relation to the global financial crisis and in relation to the upcoming G8 and G20 meetings. A welcome to officials from the Government of Canada, and a particular welcome to members of the diplomatic community here in Ottawa. We're very pleased that you've chosen to join us, and we know that responses to the financial crisis are of particular interest to yourselves and to the countries that you represent. We have a full and exciting agenda for today, so sit tight. I think we're going to be both challenged and inspired. At this point, I'd like to just draw your attention to a couple of things. First of all, the conference kits that you have in front of you. These have been lovingly prepared by the Halifax Initiative. And they include the agenda for the conference, the bios, acknowledgements, participants lists, but also something else that I think was quite an inspired choice to include in the kits will be very useful, and that is a glossary of terms. So if you find yourself wondering about what an Article 4 consultation is, or the Chiang Mai Initiative, or an SDR, well, just look in the glossary of terms and you'll find that explained for you. Before we launch into this conference, I need to mention that it wouldn't have been possible without the financial support of a number of organisations that we're extremely grateful for. And this includes, there's a list of them, so bear with me while I go through them. The Canadian Council for International Cooperation, Asia Pacific Working Group, the Canadian Labour Congress, InterPERES, the North-South Institute, Results Canada, the UN Millennium Campaign, the University of Ottawa, School of International Development and Global Studies, and the World Federalist Movement Canada. And the Halifax Initiative Coalition also wishes to thank our very important core funders, who, along with our members, provide continued financial support for our work. And these include the Charles Stewart Mott Foundation, the International Development and Research Centre, and the Sigrid Rising Trust. Finally, we'd like to thank our co-hosts for this conference, the North-South Institute, the University of Ottawa, and its School of International Development and Global Studies. Now, without further ado, I'd like to hand over to our first speaker. My colleague Roy Culpepper. Roy is president of the North-South Institute. He has a stellar career in addressing exactly the sorts of issues that we're talking about today. He's widely published on reform of the Bretton Woods institutions and on reform of the international financial architecture. And at the North-South Institute, he's currently working on a major project that addresses the global financial crisis, the policy responses to unfettered finance project. So, thank you, Roy.